Hari Om. Would any of you like to chant the Dhyana Shloka? You can put up the hands up symbol. Otherwise, I will anyway chant. Anyone?
Go ahead, Gayatri.
Hello.
Gayatri, go ahead. You can start.
Hey, okay. Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamruta Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadami Bhagavat Gite Bhavat Veshinim Namostute Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Ullara Vindayata Patra Netra Yenatvaya Bharata Taila Purnaka Prajvalito Jnanamaya Pratibha Prapanna Parijataya Totra Vetraika Panaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Mrudadduhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Gavaka Dogda Gopala Nandanaha Patho Vatsasudir Gopta Dugdam Gita Mrutam Mahatim Vasudeva Sutan Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadrata Jala Gandharani Lotpala Shalyagrahavati Kripena Bhakani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalu Pandavai Rananadi Kaivartaka Keshavaka Parasharya Vachasaroja Mamalam Gitartha Gandotkatam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikata Sambodhana Bodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatvadaira Haratana Pepiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvamsinasheyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Sumbanti Divyai Stavaihi Vedai Sangapatakramopanishadaihi Gayanti Yam Samaga Jnana Vasthita Tadgatena Manasam Pashyanti Kayoginah Yasyantanna Vidusura Suraganah Devaya Tasmai Namaha. Mukam Kar
Gayatri, are you able to hear me now?
Yeah. I can hear.
Gayatri?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, are you all able to hear me? And somebody respond to me through the question panel. Are you able to hear me? Prabha, are you able to hear me?
I'm able to hear you.
Prabha, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I'm able to hear you.
Oh, okay, there is some problem. Okay, one second. Mm-hmm. Okay. Prabha and Subhashree have said yes. Okay. Then I think continue now. Sadashiva-samarambham Shankaracharya-madhyamam Asmadacharya-paryantam Vande Guru-paramparam Om. Paramvarishtam Brahmishtam Paramananda-rupinam Paramarthanandayatim Sadgurum Pranatosmyaham. Okay. So today we are going to be starting with the 6th chapter of the Gita, which is titled Dhyana Yoga. Some books also call it Atma Samyama Yoga. 47 verses in detail, and meditation is going to be covered in detail here. Okay. And meditation is a mental exercise which has got several benefits and which is very versatile and can be used in several different areas, including the health of a person, right? So in chapter 6, we must remember that we are analyzing only in the context of spiritual sadhana, that too as prescribed by the scriptures. So first of all, we need to understand what meditation is, and what it is. Even before we understand what meditation is, we need to understand what meditation is not meant for, right? So there are several misconceptions, and initially it is worthwhile to understand what these misconceptions are and negate these misconceptions, okay? First and foremost is that meditation is not meant for attainment of moksha according to scriptures, okay? So, moksha need not be attained by us. That's what the scriptures say, because it is our own nature. So, we need not acquire moksha from outside. So, that is the first misconception. Some people think that meditation is meant for attainment of moksha. Okay? And then the second one. Meditation is not meant for getting extraordinary powers or extraordinary experiences. Meditation in spiritual field is definitely not for any of these, and according to our scriptures, they have got nothing to do with spirituality or spiritual growth. We don't negate extraordinary powers or siddhis as they are referred to. Scriptures mentions both of them, the extraordinary powers as well as extraordinary experiences. What we say is they have got nothing to do with spiritual growth, right? In fact, it is said that these extraordinary experiences and extraordinary powers could become obstacles in spiritual growth. Especially in Yoga Shastra and also Uddhava Gita, it has been made very clear that extra powers and experiences, extraordinary, right? Powers and experiences have nothing to do with spirituality but can be obstacle or pratibandha. So therefore, the spiritual seeker must go away from seeking extraordinary powers or extraordinary experiences, right? So that's the second misconception. The third misconception is meditation is not meant for getting any spiritual knowledge also. It is not meant for jnana prapti. Nowhere in the scriptures, whether it is Gita or Upanishads, meditation is prescribed for attaining knowledge. Scripture very clearly says go through a spiritual education program under a spiritual guru, right? If you see this famous verse 1-12 in Mundaka Upanishad says tad vijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigachet samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Therefore, to attain knowledge, he must necessarily approach with samit in the hand a teacher who is learned in scriptures and established in Brahman, right? And that is how he starts teaching the discipline. And the next verse goes like this. Tasmai sa vidvan upasannaya samyak prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya enaksharam purusham veda satyam provachatam tattvato brahma vidyam. To him who has approached properly, who has a calm mind, and who has sense control, that wise man shall impart the Brahma Vidya by which one knows the absolute, all-pervading, imperishable Brahman as it is. Right? And Guru started systematically teaching the disciple. So entire Upanishad is Guru giving this special education program. Right? Similarly, even other Upanishads say this. Even in Kathopanishad, Nachiketas asks for this knowledge, and Yamadharma Raja gives. In Chandogya Upanishad, Narada the student goes to Sanat Kumara, and again there Sanat Kumara does not prescribe meditation for Narada, who is already an expert in several arts and sciences. That is all described in Chandogya Upanishad. But he gave him a thorough, a complete spiritual education program. In Gita also, in the second chapter, Arjuna asked for spiritual knowledge, right? Very important. Karpanya doshopahasta swabhavaha prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha yachreyasyat nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. He actually requested Krishna to take him as a student and start the teaching. So meditation is never prescribed for gaining knowledge. It is not meditation but education. So we have to be, what do we know from this? As a student, you have to be extremely active in class, understanding and concentrating. So the three misconceptions cleared are, meditation is not meant for attainment of liberation or moksha. It is neither meant for gaining extraordinary powers or extraordinary experiences. It is also not meant for getting spiritual knowledge or jnana prapti. Right? Then what is it for? Right? This is a natural question that one could have. Right? So the purpose of meditation, right, is what? The first purpose is refinement of the mind before the spiritual education program. Right? I have to make sure that my mind is fit enough to receive and retain the teaching. Jnana Yogyata Prapti. So this meditation I practice for preparing the mind is called preparatory meditation, right? So they don't give moksha education, but meditation gives, meditation polishes the mind, right? Any knowledge inclusive of spiritual education has to be received by the mind alone, right? On the day, like you would have observed, on some days when during these classes when the mind is not present in the class, you might be sitting in front of the computer, right? But you don't receive any message. Body may be present, Atma is present, but Atma does not receive, right? Body does not. Mind and mind alone, Manaha, right, means the knowing instrument. Manute janati iti manaha, right? So mind has to receive the knowledge. Mind has to be refined enough to receive the knowledge. So Atma does not have taste, touch, any of these. When it's so subtle, mind requires that preparation, right? So to understand and assimilate the knowledge, right? So therefore, meditation in the spiritual context is preparatory meditation. This is the first purpose of meditation, okay? So preparatory meditation is of manifold, like fitness exercises are countless, right? You have many types of preparatory meditations, right? Now we will see the preparatory meditations now a little bit in detail, because I am sure many of you have already forgotten what we studied in Introduction to Vedanta. I did cover this in some detail as part of Upasana Yoga, right? But since this is very important and we need to, you know, understand this, and it is a challenge doing this through webinar, so let me try and attempt at least giving you the various types of meditation and the steps involved in it, right? So preparatory meditation is of many types, and we will study four types of meditation, okay? Relaxation meditation, where we train the mind to relax. Then we will see expansion meditation, concentration meditation, and value meditation. Together they are all called upasanam, which should precede the spiritual education program, before shravanam and mananam. So what is the order? Preparatory meditation followed by shravanam and mananam. Okay. So these parts of the slides are directly from topic 6 of Introduction to Vedanta. In case you want to revise, you can go back and also revise that portion of Introduction to Vedanta. So in the Kathopanishad, our personality is compared to a vehicle, right? So for reaching the goal, right, the destination, which is moksha, right, we need a fit vehicle, right, in which we are traveling, right, and successfully reaching the goal, our personality must be in fit condition, right? So it starts vijnana saratayar yastu mana pragna hinnaraha. So in fact, one particular section of the Kathopanishad is dedicated, this is verse 139 of Kathopanishad. In fact, one particular section of this Kathopanishad is dedicated to personality conditioning program, and the Upanishad says, only such people who has a fit vehicle, which is the personality, can attain the goal of life, right? So Tad Vishnu Paramapadam. Paramapadam is referred to as Vishnu's feet, or Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, right? So this is actually the ultimate goal, which is nothing but moksha, right? So Upasana Yoga is the personality conditioning, integrating, toning, and organizing program, right? Very important. And Upasana Yoga is a scheme. We are now talking about the preparatory discipline called Upasana Yoga, okay? A scheme to make our personality fit for the accomplishment of all the four goals, right? Our scriptures divide our personality into what? Into several layers, right? Panchakosha, Shariratrayam, etc., right? Each one of those layers has to be made fit. The first layer of our personality is Kaikam. From the standpoint of the physical body, we have a personality and that is what is referred to as kayika amsha. Then the second aspect of our personality is vachikam, because we have a developed organ of speech unlike the animals, and therefore our organ of speech not only indicates our personality but also influences our personality. So our speech is not only a product of our personality but influencer, and therefore vachika amsha has to be carefully taken care of in order to take care of the manasa amsha. Finally comes our psychological personality or the manasa amsha, which is the subtlest and most important and extremely difficult to handle also, but which we cannot ignore, and therefore our scriptures take into account all these three layers of personality and also prescribe programs for conditioning these layers, right? So because we are now focusing on the manasa aspect, but since the other two aspects are important for manasa aspect, I am just revising these so that you know we will be able to remember them as we get into the manasa layer, right? So first one is the kayika or the physical personality, right? So whether it is material pursuit or spiritual pursuit, physical body is very, very important, right? So, and throughout the scriptures we have got prayers, and in many rituals the priest will say aroga dridagatra sampatyartham. What does that mean? We should not have diseases, we should have healthy body, right? And this is actually for the materialistic portion of the Vedas, as well as in the spiritual portion. In the Vedantic portion also we have a Shanti Pata. When we start any Upanishad, we have a Shanti Pata, and in Mundaka Upanishad, the Shanti Pata from Atharvana Veda is Badram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha. So what is the point here that we are trying to say? Whether it is the materialistic pursuit or the spiritual pursuit, diet, exercises, Ahara Niyamaha, physical exercises, etc. are very, very important so that we can keep the kayika or the physical personality in good condition, right? And Krishna will talk about this also in 6th chapter, now the chapter that we are entering, right? The next layer that we are talking about is the vachika amsha or verbal conditioning, otherwise called vak tapas. This is also considered extremely important. Shankaracharya in his Viveka Chudamani points out, right? Yogasya prathamam dwaram vang nirodho parigraha. The first step of spiritual pursuit is vang nirodha or speech discipline. As a part of vak tapas, Krishna in the 17th chapter of the Gita talks about observation of four factors, four parameters, right? What is that? He says, anudvega karam vakyam, satyam, priyam and hitam. Okay, so make sure, right, that whatever you speak is taking into consideration the whether it will benefit the other person, and make sure that our mind is sufficiently sensitive that we can understand and avoid lies. There are some lies which are avoidable, some which you are not supposed to speak at all. So let us sensitize our mind and make sure that we can avoid lies, right? And the third parameter of vak tapas is priyam, right? Speech must be pleasant in terms of how we speak, how you modulate, so that the other person can hear it. And we also use mangala shabdaha or auspicious words instead of cursing words in the house, like monkey, donkey, etc., right? Instead of speaking like that, can we use mangala shabdaha, right? So as Swamiji says, if you have a tape recorder and record what you speak, you should be okay when you are replaying it and hearing it. It should sound priyam, gentle, soft, polite. This is the third condition. Fourth and final condition is hitam, means whatever is good to the listener also, right? When we speak, we are interested in our good, right? And that is nice. But find out whether it is good for the other listener also, right? In fact, one of the worst forms of himsa is talking to a person who is not interested in listening to you. This is the worst form of verbal violation, right? So we make sure that we are sensitive and compassionate when we speak, right? We take care of these four aspects or filters, right? And when you observe these four parameters, generally we will find that we have very less to speak, right? This is very, very important. The third aspect is manasa or mental conditioning. So body and speech conditioning comes before mental conditioning, because you will see that if body is not conditioned, we will not be able to sit and focus, right? And breathing can be a problem. If the food is not all right, depending on whether it is, if you have had tamo food the previous night, it is very difficult to do any form of upasana the next day, right? So body and speech conditioning, even what we speak will impact our thoughts, right? So we have to make sure that we address both before the mental conditioning, right? So upasana primarily means mental discipline, and secondarily it means physical as well as verbal discipline also, right? So that is why any meditation program, if you take say Ashtanga Yoga or Patanjali, right, he will take care of both these before they get into the yoga aspect, right? Because you can also observe when you are angry and we try to talk, automatically the speed and the tone and everything will change. And when you are angry, you can never bring down the voice or the volume or the tone, right? So meditation is of four types based on the type of discipline and the aspect or focus. Okay, so as I said, there are four types of meditation. Let's see what each one of them. And here, generally, when Swamiji conducts the sixth chapter, we all go 15 minutes earlier, and he actually does a face-to-face meditation session. Okay, so I am going to try and tell you what he does, because I'm trying a different method here, because we are all on a webinar. And you can definitely try this on your own at home and see how it works, okay? So, in relaxation meditation, what we do is, we first seat ourselves, right, in a comfortable position. It can be either in Padmasana, if you are used to Padmasana, or normal squatting on the floor, or you can even sit in any sofa or chair, because if you are old and you are not able to sit down, you have knee problem. You don't have to force yourself into any posture, any comfortable posture which will not put you to sleep. That alone you have to take care, right? Because if you lie down and do this, you will go off to sleep. So it is better to also try this first thing in the morning, because your mind does not have too many thoughts, disturbing thoughts. Then after that, you just focus from the foot, right, all the way up to the head, consciously. Keep saying, my toes are relaxed, my feet are relaxed, my legs are relaxed, right? Then my hips are relaxed. Then you go to the hand. Then slowly you go all the way up to the head and just keep telling this in your mind. And then you start observing your breathing. It will automatically start slowing down, right? So this is what we refer to as relaxation meditation. And to do this, if you are used to pranayama, it definitely helps. Because doing pranayama before relaxation meditation slows down the breathing further, right? So this is called relaxation meditation. And we generally do relaxation meditation before any of the other meditations that are coming up now. Okay, second one is concentration meditation. Now in this, we train the mind to develop attention and attention span. In fact, when I learnt about this, I thought it would have been very useful even for school going children if we are able to train them to do this, right? The capacity to focus in a field for length of time. We will be studying about Daivi Sampat, etc. And Drittihi or focus is supposed to be a very, very important aspect, Daivi Sampat, right? So the capacity to focus for a length of time is what we achieve through concentration meditation, right? So in this, what normally Swamiji does is, we take Shiva Manasa Puja, okay? And the Shiva Manasa Puja is a beautiful mental worship of Lord Shiva. So what I will do is, I'll quickly switch to those slides. and I'll walk you through that. And these slides are available in the important document section, so you can take them. My chanting of Shiva Manasa Stotra is also available, so you can take a look at that also if you think that will help you. Okay, so in Shiva Manasa Puja, you can see that. Give me a second. Let me see if this is coming up. Yeah. So it starts with Ratnai Kalpitamasanam Himajalaihi Snanam Cha Divyambaram. You will not even say it in this speed. Okay. You will say it in very slow speed. And more importantly, over a period of time, understand the meaning, right? And stop verbally saying it, but you will do this completely mentally. Okay. So when you do it mentally, right, you can try one thing. Since my chanting is already there on the site, you can put that in the site and then try and remember the meaning as you are meditating initially. After that, even that you switch off. Then see if you can complete Shiva Manasa Stotram, whether you are able to do it mentally, at the same time doing whatever the meaning says, right? Like for instance, I have imagined a throne of precious stones for you, cool water for you to bathe in, divine robes, right? With many jewels, sandalwood paste, mixed with musk to anoint your body. All this, as you are reciting the Sanskrit verses mentally, not even Vachika, Manasa, you just continue to pray and worship the Lord, right? It's a very beautiful set of 5 shlokas, and each shloka actually goes like this, right? The next one is about the offerings, right? Then the third one is about chatram, chamaram, the music, the dance, everything around the God, right? And then we offer ourselves as everything, like even whatever we walk, right? All of that is offered to the God, Lord. My sleep is your state of samadhi. Very beautiful, right? Wherever I walk, I'm walking around you. Please treat it as my pradakshina, right? Everything I utter is your praises, right? That way you continue until the 5th verse, which is, the 5th verse is, whatever sins I have committed with my hands, feet, voice, body, actions, ears, eyes, mind, right? Whether prohibited or not, please forgive them. This verse actually you can tell in the night also before you go to bed, because every day after you have completed the day, it helps in saying that. But from the perspective of what I am talking and discussing today, it is for concentration meditation, right? So the important thing is you will have to get by heart this if you have to do the whole thing mentally, and the meaning also you would have to know, right? But I put up the chanting so that in case you want initially, you can try and, go with that. And the verses are also there. The meaning is also there along with the chanting. Right? So let me go back to my original slides. Yeah. So this is the second form of meditation. So we normally start with relaxation meditation. Once we are settled, then we do concentration meditation. What may help is going to a place where you are by yourself and it is calm. Either your puja room or a place where nobody will disturb you. Oh, one second. Oh, I didn't realize. One second. I don't think I can play now, so I'll stop this. Okay. So you can listen to it on your own after, the class is over. So the third kind of meditation is expansion meditation. And this is very, very important from the perspective of, expanding our mind, right? Because when you look at yourself as a very significant being, then all problems, all experiences will seem really large and looming in front of you. But when we see ourselves, right, in amidst the totality of the creation, right? Then our perspective of ourselves, our problems, our situations, everything will change, right? So the meditation of the creation or Vishwarupa Dhyanam is what we refer to as expansion meditation. Seeing the sun, the moon, the stars, all as part of the Bhagavan, the God, the Vishwarupa Ishvara, your mind will expand. So that is expansion meditation, the third kind of meditation, right? And then the fourth one is value meditation. Now, this is a very different form of meditation. And here, what we are actually doing is, we are using the Sankalpa Shakti of the mind to influence our behavior and our thought pattern, right? So, what they say is, watch your words, they become your actions, right? Watch your actions, they become your habits, and watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny, right? So, first actually it's your thought, then the thought becomes words, then words become actions, etc. So, in order to make sure that we are able to act on a particular value, for instance, we look at Daivi Sampath in chapter 16 of Gita. There's a list of spiritual values, right? Now, there are a list of Asuri Sampath also. That is what you should not have. For instance, anger, right? Or fear, any of these, right? So, each person, it is very personal, the journey. Each person has something that he or she needs to address. Now, in value meditation, what happens is, you tell your mind that you are going to be a changed person, right? From today, whatever is irritating you or bothering you, you tell the opposite and tell your mind that from today, this is not going to bother me. I am going to be a different person. This is what is going to happen. And when you do this in meditation, it brings about a positive change. So this, in fact, Pujya Swamiji, that is Swami Dayananda Saraswati, in his book on meditation, he has a set of instructions for addressing anger, fear, envy, etc. So you might even want to use that if you feel that any one of those values needs your attention, right? So this is your value meditation, which is a very, very special kind of meditation, right? So relaxation meditation, concentration meditation, expansion meditation and value meditation. These are the four different meditations, right? And as I said, the Daivi Sampath is listed here. Chapter 16 of Gita has, in the first three verses, it has these 18 values, right? So, value meditation, as I said, is by changing my thought pattern, because the thought shapes our future, right? And we are able to either, both ways, you can avoid, reduce, remove Asuri Sampath, and you can inculcate Daivi Sampath. Value meditation is exploiting or utilizing our Sankalpa Shakti, right? And something about integration or Arjavam. Now, this becomes very essential for our Upasana, because the body, sense organ and mind must be healthy individually and they have to work as a team. So what does this mean? Punctuality, right, is a method of developing this integration, right? When you fix a time, right, in your mind, right, you say at 7 o'clock you are going to get up, right? So you have a clock alarm that rings at 7 and then you put it to sleep and you want to go back to sleep. There's a clear integration problem. Why? Because your mind wants you to get up at 7 and your kayika personality is switching it off, and so it's going against your conscience. This is a small conflict. Similarly, there can be even bigger situations where you can have a body, sense organ, mind conflict, right? Kayika, Vachika, Manasa conflict. So if that conflict is there, your Arjavam is in trouble, right? And integration or Arjavam is very, very important. and it has to be taken care of for Upasana Yoga, right? Very important. And there is no chronology between Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga, right? But it can be that at particular time you are focusing more on Karma Yoga, another time you are focusing more on Upasana Yoga. But it is important that we have gone through these two for the Jnana Yoga discipline. Otherwise, Jnana Yoga will only act as Karma Yoga, as a Parayanam, right? It's not that you should stop listening to Gita or anything, but it will be more like a Parayanam only, right? So that is about integration and Arjavam. We have to make sure that they do not work on at cross purposes, right? Now, this is all the first purpose of meditation, refinement of the mind before spiritual education program, right? The second type of meditation, right, is after spiritual education program. This is meant to internalize the teaching I have received. Like after eating food, right, they say don't take up any exerting activity because the blood has to flow to the stomach to act on it, right? So similarly here, the received teaching will not nourish, right? Assimilated teaching alone will nourish. So you have to allocate time, like these cows, no, they chew the cuds, right? Similarly, you need to chew on the teaching so that you can assimilate it, right? What is the teaching? It is about the higher nature. I am not the body, mind, sense organs. I am the consciousness principle. I learn to invoke my higher nature, right? I am, this is an incidental body, right? Growing, graying and going body, right? But I, the consciousness principle, is always there. Right? Life should be seen as a cosmic drama in which we are all playing different roles, right? Otherwise, life will become a burden, right? So, we should know that these are all different roles that we are playing. Now, to say this is very easy, but internalizing this is important, right? And internalizing this, you need the second form of meditation, second purpose that we spoke about, which is assimilation meditation or Vedantic meditation. So the first four meditations we saw comes under the first category, which is for refinement of the mind. Vedantic meditation is nothing but Nididhyasanam, which is the second type of meditation, right? So Upasana is before study, then Nididhyasanam is after study. So study is sandwiched between Upasana and Nididhyasana Dhyanam, right? A sandwich that we have to consume. This will give us liberation here and now. Very important, in the sixth chapter, right, we are focusing on Nididhyasana Dhyanam or assimilatory meditation for assimilating the teaching. Okay? The sixth chapter is focusing on the second one here, which is the Vedantic meditation or Nididhyasana meditation, right? So, the teaching has been given in the second chapter from verses 11 to 25. Nature of Atma, right? Akarta, Abhokta, etc., right? So, those things we need to revise, right? And we have also seen it in third, fourth, etc., right? So, how can we practice Atma Jnanam? As far as Upasana Yoga is concerned, Lord Krishna does not deal with it in any particular chapter, right? He is dealing with it sporadically, right? But not in a very structured manner. That is why Swamiji had, you know, conducted a separate session on Upasana Yoga, which I just covered. So that is the Upasana Yoga part, right? And in concentration meditation, you must remember that we are actually doing Saguna Ishwara Upasana in the form of Eka Rupa Upasana. I am trying to bring everything that I have taught all these days together. Eka Rupa Ishwara, Saguna Ishwara Upasana in the form of concentration meditation. Vishwarupa Ishwara meditation in expansion meditation, which is also Saguna Brahma, Saguna Ishwara Upasana only. Okay? So, this Vedantic meditation, which is the second type, which is Nididhyasanam, is being covered by Lord Krishna in this chapter titled Dhyana Yoga. Clear? This is how the approach is. Okay? So, the topics in chapter 6. Okay? The first one is Bahiranga Sadhanani. Right? Those disciplines to be followed throughout daily life, which influences one's meditation. Right? Krishna divides the Nididhyasanam into these 5 topics. Right? Because for a Vedantic student, successful Nididhyasanam is important. Throughout the day, we have to take care, like lifestyle. If you have to handle lifestyle diseases, what do? You have to change your lifestyle, which is developed due to wrong habits. Lifestyle has to be changed. It can't be treated in any hospital within a week. Right? It can't happen. So, there are problems in eating, sleeping, waking up habits, etc. Similarly, if you want to be successful in Vedanta, lifestyle has to be meditation friendly lifestyle. So these general preparations are called Bahiranga Sadhana, which are indirectly connected to meditation. Food, timing, discipline, exercises. Krishna talks of all these aspects, right? Topic 2 is Antaranga Sadhanani, those disciplines to be followed immediately before meditation, right? Specific preparations to be taken care of during meditation, not throughout the day. Just where you sit, how should the seat be, right? How should the place be? What should the time of meditation be? What posture you have? All of this is covered. Very exhaustive chapter, right? That is Antaranga Sadhanani. Topic 3 is procedure of meditation. What exactly, that is the nature, do you do? Should you sleep during meditation? Should you do planning? Should I remove all thoughts? Many people think emptying mind of all thoughts, silencing the mind is meditation, right? So, procedure of meditation, Dhyana Swarupam, or procedure or Prakaraha, that is topic 3, Dhyana Swarupam. Topic 4 is, what are the obstacles that will come when a person attempts meditation, right? By all meditators, while they attempt meditation, we will sit for meditation and we will do everything except meditation. 30 minutes we will worry. As Swamiji says, all the relatives will come and march past in front of us, right? So, obstacles like distraction, dozing off, right? It can be any of these. So, obstacles and remedy to get over the obstacles, right? Pratibandha and Pariharaha, right? So, Dhyana Pratibandha Parihara, both, right? So, that is topic 4. Topic 5 is Dhyana Phalam, result of the meditation. Topic 5, what is the benefit that one will derive? Consequences of practicing meditation, specially Atma Dhyana Phalam. Right? So, this is what we are going to be seeing in this chapter. Right? So, we will start this chapter today and then, of course, I will take questions because I know many of you may have questions on whatever I have spoken about. Right? So, some of the portions are mixed up here. It will not be in an order. But wherever, I will try and map to these 5 and I will tell you which are the shlokas, and also in the end when I summarize, I will do a mapping of the shlokas to the topics, right? So, throughout the 6th chapter, we can try practicing this at home minimum. Ideally 15 minutes, 5 minutes of relaxation or 7 minutes of relaxation, and then the rest of the time in, first we can do a concentration meditation. For some 10 days at least, then we can look at expansion meditation. Because according to me, I don't know whether it is correct because Swamiji has never told that. I think concentration meditation is easier than expansion meditation, right? So, Bahiranga Sadhanani are actually covered from 1 to 9, okay? And 16 and 17, right? So, let us get into verse 1. So, Krishna voluntarily starts the teaching, right? He's on his own Sri Bhagavan Uvacha will come, right? So he will talk about it in 1 to 9. And the ideal preparation for meditation is what? The Karma Yoga way of life, right? So for Upasanam also, for Nididhyasanam also, Karma Yoga has been dealt with elaborately in 3rd chapter. Therefore, Lord Krishna is hinting at the Karma Yoga way of life. Why do we say so? Logic is that for worldly activities, we use our mind. For meditation also, we use our mind and we have only one mind, right? So the mind we use for worldly activities is used for meditation. So during worldly transactions, if mind is going to be disturbed, either at office because you have boss subordinate issues or at home, and if the mind is violently disturbed, we will have a hangover of that in the seat of meditation, right? And either the boss or the office or your auto driver, one of them will come in front, right? So therefore, generally they suggest meditation during early morning, right? Because yesterday's disturbances, however bad they are, right? The good sleep is rejuvenating and it would have gone off, right? So it is better to start in the morning, right? So we will try and practice this and see how it works, right? Unless we practice, we will not be able to also appreciate what Lord Krishna is talking about, right? So he says mental reactions will come down. Why Karma Yoga is important? Because if you see Sukha Dukhe Same Kritva, Krishna spoke about it, right? Labha Labha Jaya Jaya. So he says Karma Yoga way of mind itself will allow you to address some of the disturbances much better. So when you address those disturbances, you will be able to sit in meditation more, right? So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Anashrita Karma Phalam, Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha, Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha, Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha, So, the 6th chapter begins with the focus on Karma Yoga, right? As I said, and because Karma Yoga itself helps in reducing FIR as well as improving triple C, because of Karma Yoga and Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava, to a certain extent, we have been able to address the upheavals or emotional disturbances. So, with practicing Karma Yoga, our mind becomes fit for meditation, right? So, that is what Krishna is trying to say in this verse, which we will actually get into it in more detail in the next class. Basically, the meaning of this verse is, he who performs the action to be done without expecting the result of action is a sannyasi in a way, and not a renouncer of rituals, and moreover, he is a yogi and not a renouncer of activities. Basically, he is trying to praise the Karma Yogi here, because Arjuna is a grihastha and Krishna wants to motivate him, right? So, I will stop here and I will complete Purnamada and then take questions. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, anyone having questions, because I did cover a lot on meditation today, so any of you has, I'm just opening the questions here. Yeah. How can we try and control mind from getting agitated by external stimuli and people? Or should it be tackled by mindfulness? Be aware and be non-judgmental. What does the Gita suggest? See, the way you work with the Karma Yoga way of mind itself, as we discussed several times, will lead to FIR reduction over a period of time. First thing. Second is that as you start doing meditation, that also starts working and helps. But both of them have to go hand in glove. And more importantly, the more you do Panchamaha Yajna, because first you are doing secular actions. From secular actions, you now have an exposure towards Panchamaha Yajna. In Panchamaha Yajna also, we are moving from Sakama to Nishkama, Loka, Samastha, Sukhino, Bhavan. So all this will help us in addressing some of our problems like anger, etc. And of course, what I spoke about value meditation today, right? Value meditation itself will help in giving this positive stroke and using the Sankalpa Shakti of the mind to address some of these issues. Anybody else has any questions? Yeah. Binu, go ahead.
Hello, ma'am. Are you able to hear me? Hello, ma'am. Are you able to hear me?
Binu, we can't hear you.
Okay. Let me. Are you able to hear me?
Binu? Maybe you should type out your question because we can't hear you.
Okay.
Can you speak up now? Briefly, we heard you.
Hello? Hello, are you able to hear me?
Okay, I think you should type out your question, Binu. I'm coming to Gayatri. Yeah, Gayatri, go ahead. Gayatri?
Hello? Meditation is also the part of Karma Yoga?
Some problem with the audio, I think. I can't hear Gayatri also. Very strange. Can you type out your question, please? Gayatri, can you speak up now?
Hello?
Yeah, it was all fine before. I don't know what's happened. Okay, I think you should just type the question. Okay. Oh, Ramaya is able to hear the questions, which means only I have a problem. Oh, that's fine. So, let me just see. Thank you so much for typing it out. Okay. One is asking, is meditation... I'm not able to... one is asking, is meditation a part of Karma Yoga? Yes, generally Upasana Yoga is handled along with Karma Yoga only, right? Except that it is a Manasa activity and therefore sometimes treated as a separate group of yoga, that's all. But that is also coming along with Karma Yoga only. And both of them lead to Jnana Yogyata, yeah, Prapti. We see a lot of meditation programs. In Gita's perspective, this is the first type of meditation, correct? Yes. All the meditation programs, right, as long as they don't conflict, right, it is only part of Karma Yoga and part of the first Upasana Yoga, that is the Saguna Ishwara Upasana, which is the first four that we discussed. As long as it doesn't conflict. What do I mean by not conflict? If you go to some Buddhist kind of meditation and they ask you to empty out your thoughts, that can be at cross purpose, because Vedanta never believes that you can cut out the thoughts completely. Okay, are there any other questions? Okay, I think this is done. I think I had a problem with, okay, I still can't hear Gayatri, so I think it's fine. She wrote the questions out. Okay, if any of you have any more questions, you can also send it out to me and I will take it up next week. Not a problem at all. Today there is some issue with the, I think with my hearing, maybe something to do with my headphone. Okay. My plug is. Okay. So next class we will Hari Om. Thank you. Next class is on next.